The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 3, text number 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 25th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas. Tad eveta rojana, sayat pramanam kurute, lokas tad anuvartate, yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tad eveta rojana. Sayat pramanam kurute, lokas tad anuvartate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. In whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Samhita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king is the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. So, if we want to be successful on this pathway of human life, we require acharya, a teacher. Even for ordinary mundane things, we require a teacher. Did you figure out how to tie your shoes on your own, or did someone teach you how to tie your shoes? Mm-hmm. For ordinary things, even, we require a teacher. So what is the actual purpose of human life? Is it simply meant for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? The animals do that. If that's all you do is eat, sleep, mate, and defend with a slightly more polished style than the animals, how are you any better than an animal? This human life, therefore, is meant, according to Vedanta Sutra, tato brahma jigyasa. Now you have a human life, you are meant to become self-realized. Simply getting a job and maintaining your family makes you no better than a bird. They also build a very nice nest, and they go out and gather some worms and bring it back to the nest. If all you're doing is maintaining a nest and going out and getting some worms from your job every day and bringing it back to the nest, you're no better than a worm. I mean to say a bird. Actually, a worm also. You're no better than a bird or a worm if that's all you do. So human life is meant to reestablish your lost loving relationship with Krishna or God. You know, you do not remember, but actually you are one of the eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. That's who you actually are. You're not your material body. You see? You're a spiritual being. You're actually one of the eternal associates of Krishna in his transcendental pastimes, either in Goloka or in Vaikuntha. You're one of the associates of the Lord. That's who you actually are. You have nothing to do with this material body, except to use it in Krishna's service. So, therefore, instead of simply eating, sleeping, making, and defending, you need to reestablish your lost loving relationship with Krishna or God. This is learned from a bona fide spiritual master. A spiritual master means one who knows the art of how to reconnect one with Krishna or God, so that when you leave this present body, punar janma vidyate, you will not take birth again. So, therefore, spiritual life is the most important thing. It's more important than earning your living, is it? You need to earn your place back in the spiritual world. That's the real living you have to earn. So how do you qualify yourself? That is the spiritual master's business. He teaches you how to do that. By his training, the spiritual master factually delivers you from this material existence. This is why having a guru is required. If you're familiar with Sanskrit, anyone familiar with Sanskrit? There's different forms of verbs. Just like gachat is one form. Gachati means he goes. Gachanti means they go. Gachat means must go. You see? So the Mundaka Upanishad clearly states, eva bhikkhuchet, you must go to the spiritual master. It's compulsory. If you actually want to realize the real purpose of being a human being, you must accept the spiritual master and surrender to him fully, you see. Otherwise, you're simply an animal, you see. That's why we call initiation the second birth. If you only have your first birth, you're an animal. Second birth or initiation is when you actually become a human being. The spiritual master pulls you off of this material platform. He elevates you to the spiritual platform so that you can go about your life happily and peacefully, raising your family, earning your living, living happily in your home. You can do all of these things under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master and achieve spiritual perfection at the time of leaving your body. So don't think that by having a very nicely decorated house, very nicely dressed children, very nicely educated with college degrees, that you've achieved success. You have not. You can only be successful if you learn, you qualify yourself and your family members how to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Because this whole life will be finished. Do you know how many lives you've had in this material world? It's uncountable. Millions and billions of lifetimes you've had here. Sometimes you were a king. Sometimes you were a pauper. Sometimes you were a demigod in the heavenly planets like Indra or Ganesh. Sometimes you were a dog or a cat or a germ. We've been through all these different species of life according to the laws of karma. Now you have a human birth. It's the most opportune time out of millions of births you've been through. You're in a human body right now, you see. Especially to have an Indian body. You see, India is the land of spiritual realization. Now the politicians are taking it a different direction. You see. Just like that Nehru, you see. Every day he wanted a rose, a fresh rose from the UK. That was his program. Every day he would get a rose from the UK. You know what happened in Nehru? One astrologer said he became a dog in Scandinavia in his next birth. From Prime Minister of India becoming a dog. He wasn't only, he was one of two dogs. He had to share the house with another dog. You see. So don't be like that kind of an Indian, you see. Simply interested in politics and cricket. You see. You be a real Indian. Bharat. A true Indian means one who becomes self-realized. You see, that is the real meaning of Indian birth. Become self-realized. Actually, I was going to go to India. As a spiritual seeker, I was going to go to India. But then I realized that Krishna inspired me to go to San Francisco instead of India. I was on my way to India, actually, to renounce the world, become a sadhu in India. But then it was revealed to me by the Lord within that I should go to San Francisco instead. And I met the devotees there, the Harinam party. And gradually, I came to this platform of being a devotee of Krishna. The point is, please do not spoil your human life. Simply running after eating, sleeping, mating, and offending. Please, I'm begging you, do not flush your human life down the toilet by going after sense gratification. Please seriously take up the path of Krishna Bhakti according to the teachings given in the Bhagavad Gita, which means under the guidance of the spiritual master. Krishna orders us in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, Tadvidi pratipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Actually, they haven't seen it just once. You see, these self-realized souls, they're seeing it constantly. You see, they're constantly seeing Krishna. Yanasha sarabhutanam. Tasham jagati samyami, yasham jagati bhutani sanasha pasritonani. They're able to constantly see Krishna. What is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So these self-realized souls, they are seeing Krishna constantly. And they can teach you how to also become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter if you're a brahmachari, a house sitter, retired, or a sannyasi, or a student, a young girl, or a young boy in school. It doesn't matter what your position is. If you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, you become obedient to his instructions, then under his guidance you'll realize God. How old was Prahlad when he realized God? He's a little boy. Even this small boy here, he can become fully God-realized, you see. So the children should know from the very beginning that my goal in life is to realize God. This mundane education, that's all right, but that's secondary business. Every child and every one of you adults should know my prime business in life is to realize God. Become qualified to see Krishna face to face and to enter into his kingdom upon leaving this present body. So if there's any questions, they can be passed forward. My wife and I will be happy to try to answer them. We can alternate, Devi. So I'll start off with the first one. Give some to Guru Mata. Okay. I'll do the first one, you can do the next. How to avoid conflict when food is offered demigods in your family? In other words, my parents. Wow. This reminds me of Prahlad Maharaj in the Hiranyakasipu. He was a demigod. He was a worshipper of Lord Shiva. This is a heavy thing. Is it somebody here, the child wants to be a devotee and the parents are demigod worshippers? This is a heavy one. I mean, the parents may be sitting here also. I could get in trouble. Big trouble. But actually, if the parents want to feed the demigods, say, Mom and Dad, It's okay if you want to feed the demigods. At first, we offer the food to Krishna, and then give the prasad to the demigods. Then it's okay.
Demigods don't accept that if it's not Krishna prasadam. Because demigods are also devotees.
They're devotees also. So first offer the foodstuffs to Krishna, and then if they want to feed the demigods, let the demigods have the prasad of Krishna, and then it's okay. All right, now you do the next one, Devi. All right, then I'll take that one. You can take the next one. I'll trade you one here. We'll swap. Yeah. Okay, I'll take that one. Okay. I do so much Vaishnava aparad, I feel I'm ineligible to be Krishna conscious. Please advise, knowingly or unknowingly, then aparad continue. Thing is, if you're sincere, you can overcome being offensive towards devotees. Always be in the mood of offering obeisances to Vaishnavas, you see. Always be in the bowing down mood, and you'll overcome the tendency to be offensive to devotees. Next.
I don't know whose question is this. He says, I am facing problem to control, not to envy to others, and jealous. Please help me. So is this jealousy towards the material persons or the devotees? Whose question is this? Because if it's a devotee, the answer is different, and if it's karmi, the answer is different. So whoever question is that, please speak up. Whose question is this?
It's my question.
So what is your there? You are angry about
non-devotees.
So Prabhupada answers that if you are envious of devotee,
he said non-devotees.
I said non-devotees.
Non-devotees. Why you are envious of non-devotee for their material opulences they have?
Yes.
Well, that means you do not know what is the opulence.
The mother, we are still in that process.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you know what is the meaning of opulence, when you have Krishna, you have all opulence. If you understand that, because with Lord Krishna there is Lakshmi Ji, and if you become, there is no opulence greater than having Krishna with you. These material opulences that you see and envy, it's a temporary thing. Today it's here, tomorrow it's not there. So you have to understand what is the opulence.
By having Krishna, you immediately defeat every materialist in the whole universe, even Lord Brahma. Even a non-devotee Brahma, you would be better than him if you have Krishna. Whatever opulence they have is mostly a hallucination. But you have real opulence when you have Krishna.
Okay. So do not envy, and the material opulence is useless. It's like zeros with no one.
It is said that by the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru. If one would like to take shelter of a guru, what kind of endeavor he or she should make to find out his or her guru? In other words, how do you find a guru? Well, actually, you don't have to find a guru. You don't have to seek a spiritual master. Prabhupada says, when you're serious to become Krishna conscious, Krishna will send the spiritual master to you. You just have to learn how to recognize, now Krishna has sent me my spiritual master, let me surrender to him. You see? You don't have to seek a guru. You have to be sincere to become Krishna conscious. And then you'll see, oh, Krishna has sent me a guru. Let me surrender now. Next.
Should abortion be banned? What is the karma for aborting a fetus? Banning abortion, it's artificial. Why don't we practice Krishna Bhakti so there won't be a cause for abortion and there won't be any karma for aborting a baby? And if one aborts the baby, then they call it fetus, but it's a baby. And they abort the baby.
Tissue. They say remove the tissue.
So they have to get the same karma to be aborted in the next life. Why they don't follow the regulations? No illicit sex. Illicit sex means, an abortion means that unwanted children are aborted. Because one does not, they want to enjoy the sex, and when they have become pregnant, they want to abort it. So why don't you follow the no illicit sex? So you can have only child when you want a child.
Krishna consciousness is more ecstatic than sex life anyway. So just become Krishna conscious. You'll enjoy more better than people who are trying to have sex pleasure. Okay, why is it not advisable to talk about the Rasa Leela of Radha Krishna? Well, it can be discussed. It's in the Krishna book, but it's not discussed in... it's not discussed with the general public, because there are a class of so-called gurus in India who like to talk about Krishna kissing the gopis, and everybody comes and they hear about Krishna kissing the gopis, and they go home after and have illicit sex. So they make it like some kind of a sex thing, sex pleasure thing. That's not good. But if one actually hears about Rasa Leela from a pure devotee, like when you read the Krishna book, Prabhupada talks all about Rasa Leela, you see. And it's also sung about in that bhajan, about the holy places of Vrindavan. You see, Shri Rasa Mandala Jaya Jaya, Shri Rasa Mandala Jaya, Sarva Manoram Jaya Rasa Leela. So we do talk about it sometimes. But it has to be in the proper context, based on full surrender to the will of Krishna, becoming a humble servant of Guru and Krishna, and then you can actually relish the real meaning of Rasa Leela. For those who want Rasa, to enjoy Rasa Leela without surrendering to Krishna, they take it as some kind of sex pleasure pastime to justify their own sex pleasure, and that's very detrimental from one's Krishna consciousness. Yes, next, Devi.
The same question about envy. We have answered it. This is again about the kids. How to give Krishna consciousness to school age kids. Homeschooling. And parents being strict about their Krishna consciousness. The children will, they don't feel isolated at school or at any social place outside devotees. They feel also isolated at the devotees. At the same time, they don't feel isolated at school or at any social place. So do they feel isolated at Krishna, at the school, at the home, or what? It's not very clear. How to give Krishna consciousness to school-age kid? At the same time, they don't feel isolated. Okay.
They're not isolated, they're insulated.
Yeah.
There's a hand up in the...
Yes, I got it. so they don't feel isolated. But as Guru Maharaj said, that it's not isolated, they're insulated. If you train them at home about Krishna consciousness, they're insulated. Even if they go to karmi school, they can understand that the people who are in the karmi schools, they are teaching something wrong. They can be insulated by or from all the nonsense that the other kids does. So it is very important that the parents train the kids at home.
My disciple Madhavananda, is he here now? He's doing, yes, he's training his... That boy, stand up, Cindy. This boy is not an isolated boy. He's very... He can go downtown and approach everybody with great enthusiasm, giving out a book and chanting. He's not some kind of a person like a recluse. He can relate to everybody and with great enthusiasm and intelligence. This is an example of homeschooling, you see. He's actually, how many grade levels is he above for his age? How many grade levels advanced beyond his normal?
Maybe one to
the
There is no external assessment in Australia.
How many levels?
One at least.
One level ahead. Yeah. Thank you very much. Sit down. Yeah. So this homeschooling is very good if you can arrange or a number of parents can pool their energies. It's very good.
At the same time, they're insulated from bad habits that the other kids have. And then by homeschooling, the children learn to love their parents.
Okay, why is it important to chant 16 rounds and not any number? The order of the spiritual master is sacred. Prabhupada's instructions are very sacred. So we follow exactly what his divine grace Srila Prabhupada has given us. That's very significant because the spiritual master, whatever orders he gives, that's significant. If he says, bring me water, and you bring him a glass of milk, that's not proper. If he says, bring me a glass of milk, and you bring him water, that's not proper. Whatever the spiritual master has ordered, if you specifically do exactly what he's asked you to do, then you become very, very dear to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has ordered us to chant at least 16 rounds every day. So if you take his orders seriously, this is coming. Krishna actually says, Ye me bhakta jana partha, no me bhakta te janaha, mad bhakchanam te ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee. He is my devotee. So how do you become the devotee of the devotee? By obeying him. It's not just some theoretical thing. To become a devotee of the devotee, you actually obey that devotee. You see? That's how you become a devotee, through obedience, not just some sentiment, through actual obedience. So Prabhupada has said, chant at least 16 rounds every day. So by obeying that instruction, you become recognized by Krishna as a genuine devotee. Do you think that's worthwhile, to be recognized by Krishna as a genuine devotee? That's what everyone needs to do if they want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So it's chanting the 16 rounds. If Prabhupada said 18, then 18 would be the number. Because the order was given by the founder Acharya of ISKCON, who's a pure devotee of Krishna in disciplic succession from Krishna. Therefore, that number is very significant. Next.
These are all questions for you.
Well, here. They're for me? Well, here, give. Well, I'll trade you. Yeah, okay. Okay, but she got somewhere on that.
Our kids are practicing homeschooling. More Krishna conscious
than kids going to school. Definitely. Because they learn all the subject matter on the surface. Reading the Shastras, they learn English by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. They know more. They naturally start becoming Krishna conscious. Next question. How can we be strongly situated... and practice Krishna consciousness in the grueling materialistic world where we are constantly engaged in working harder to sustain ourselves and families and our time poor? Actually, there's much time in the day for chanting Hare Krishna. I don't care how much you're working. Krishna has given you sufficient time of the day for chanting. You just have to practice what is known as time management. Rupa Goswami is the grandfather of time management. He says, do not waste a single moment outside of the service of Krishna. So you have to see that every single instant of your 24 hours is as much as possible used for your Krishna conscious life. So don't tell me you don't have enough time to chant. You're just not managing your time properly. Go to bed as early as possible at night and get up as early as possible in the morning and begin your day by chanting, because when you do that, then you know why you're working or why you're studying, you see. You're doing it for Krishna. You're not doing it for sense gratification. You have to base your day on chanting. Not that at the end of the day when you're all sleepy and tired, you come home and you halfway chant a little bit. No. You chant in the morning when you're fresh out of the bed, you've taken a shower, you're fresh in the morning. That's when you should meditate on Krishna's holy name. If you're a mother, when your kid's still asleep, get up before your kid wakes up, you see? In this way, you have to put chanting as the first business every day. And if you do that, Krishna will actually reciprocate by making your material life easier to manage. You'll have less stress at work, less stress at school. Krishna reciprocates. If you put chanting first, he's in the heart of your boss also. Just like I'll give you an example. I was working a job many years ago to support our center as a telesalesman. And one day I really need to wear tilak to work because it helps me to be Krishna conscious. So one day I wore my tilak to work and I was so fired up that I was selling like anything. One sale after another sale, my boss was so happy. He says, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on you must wear it every day. So the thing is, Krishna is in the heart of your bars also. And if you increase your own Krishna consciousness, Krishna will influence your boss to facilitate your Krishna consciousness. If you don't believe me, try it. Just try it. If you are increasing your own Krishna consciousness, Krishna within the heart of your boss will influence him to give you more facility for your practice. Another example is, because I had been a brahmachari for 14 years, and then I got married, and the temple authorities said, and the GBC said, all the house orders have to get jobs. So I got a job as a computer programmer, and the first job I had was computer operator. I later on got programmer. But I had to babysit a mainframe computer from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. Can you imagine their work? So where's my Mangal Arati? As a brahmachari, going to Mangal Arati every day at 4:30 in the morning. But I had this strong desire, no, I have to go to Mangal Arati. So you know what happened? When I got the job, the boss said, you know, nobody likes to work this night shift. Wes Hillpot was his name. Wes told me, he said, nobody likes to work this midnight shift. So if you want to take an extra long lunch break, we don't mind. It's fine with us. There I was, Mangal Arati. I would drive at 4 o'clock, I'd leave from Children Corporation, I'd drive through the streets of Dallas over to the Shadow Lake Apartments, I'd pick up Guru Mata, dive into the temple at 4:30, attend Mangal Arati, and go back to work by a little after 5, you see. So, because I had that desire, that burning desire to worship Krishna, Krishna inspired my boss to give me an extra long lunch break. So I go to Mangal Arati every day. You understand? You have to be keen in your desire to be Krishna conscious. Don't be a dull-headed sense gratifier. You have to be intense in your desire to awaken Krishna consciousness. And then just watch the magic that happens. That's my challenge to every one of you. Next.
As Krishna says, where there is will, there is a
way. Yeah. Okay, it's your turn, G.
While I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, my mind wanders about material things, wonders about material things. How do I bring back my mind? Please help me. When Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, if your mind is wandering in here and there, you bring it back to Krishna consciousness. That's what you do. And if that is not practical, our mind One is about the material things. It's just that we have been time immemorial, we have been engaged with all the material activities. So we have to train our mind with great deliberation and practice to bring it back in the service of Krishna. That's the only way you can do it.
Dear Maharaj, how to develop humility? Actually, you already have it. It's not artificial. You just have to uncover it. It's already there within you. Trinandapi sanichena tadarapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street, being more tolerant than a tree, offering all respect to others without expecting any respect for himself. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So I very much appreciate this question, because this humility is essential if you want to taste ruchi, nama ruchi, the sweet taste of the holy name. So how do you cultivate humility? This verse of Lord Chaitanya gives us the secret of how to cultivate humility. You offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for yourself. Not that, well, I'll respect you if you respect me. No. You can disrespect me, but still I will respect you, you see. That, if you practice that with all your relationship, with devotees and non-devotees also, with everyone, your family members, every strangers, if you cultivate that attitude, I offer respect to everybody, whether they respect me or not. That's how you develop humility. And that's how you be able to enter into the sweet, sweet mellows of Krishna's holy name. You understand? Next.
Is the severity of punishment lesson for people who from Kali Yuga? Yes, but don't take advantage. Laws of material nature. The punishment may be not as severe as other times, but the punishment is there. The main punishment is birth, death, old age and disease. So don't take it cheaply and become Krishna conscious.
Do I have to rush to be initiated? Actually, you shouldn't rush. You should take at least 6 months. Prabhupada stated in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada states that one should spend at least 6 months to study. Actually, he said 6 months. He didn't say at least. And one should take 6 months to study the spiritual master. The point is, you don't want to be initiated by some bogus so-called guru who's just going to exploit you. You have to study the spiritual master to make sure he's bona fide. That's the point. But as far as the desire to be initiated, become a disciple, that you should have that immediately. Because that's the way out of the material world. But then as far as actually accepting a spiritual master, you don't want to accept some bogus charlatan as a guru. I did that in the beginning. I accepted a bogus charlatan that I was told to just, you could do whatever you want, but just go aing, 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 silently, 20 minutes twice a day. So I got initiated by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and I was given the mantra, aing, aing, and it didn't work, you see. So I hadn't had the advantage of being trained by Prabhupada. I had to understand who's a bona fide spiritual master. I just reading some bogus books. So now you have all the advantage of Prabhupada's books, so you can know how to see who is a bona fide spiritual master. You see? Spiritual master means someone who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. His only business is Krishna. You see? You have the advantage of being familiar with, now you can look in Prabhupada's books and you can see, well, I need to have a spiritual master. Let's see who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and who is very eager to give me Krishna consciousness, you see. That's all you need. He's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and he's very eager to deliver me from this material world. If you find that person, then you should dedicate your life to him, become his disciple, and under his guidance you will achieve spiritual perfection quickly. Next.
Kali has such a great the earthly planets, but about the upper and lower planetary system. Do the inhabitants of those planets get influenced by the age of Kali? I cannot say that because the thing is, the effect of Kali Yuga is more on the earthly planet because there is a time is relative. On the upper planetary system, the time is like, here we have 6 months, there is only 1 day. 1 day, our 6 months will be in the heavenly planets, is 6 months, 1 day. So there is a time difference, there is it makes a, time is relative, and according to that, they must be getting the Kali Yuga. It cannot be corresponding with what we have Kali Yuga here and Kali Yuga there, no.
Having attachment with one's family members is not right on the path of spirituality. Actually, you can avoid it. You're naturally going to be attached to your family members. You can't deny that. You have to utilize it properly. That's it. So how do you utilize your attachment for your family members? By seeing that they're going back to home, back to Godhead. My godbrother, Jagopal Prabhu, he was killed in an automobile accident. Prabhupada told his wife, Prabhupada said, he's waiting for you in Vaikuntha. So, to be attached to your family members, that's fine in Krishna consciousness. But utilize that attachment not to gratify their senses, then you're killing them. You understand? If you shower your family members with sense gratification, you're killing them, you're murdering them spiritually. You need to engage your family members in the service of Krishna. Just like I have many disciples, I'm attached to my disciples also, you see. That attachment is good. I want them to go back to Godhead. I'm attached to them, they're attached to me. So the same thing in the family, you see. The husband and wife are attached to the kids. Everyone's attached to each other. There's no harm. If you use that attachment in Krishna's service, then it's fantastic. But don't use it for sense gratification. Then it will kill you and kill your family members. Yes?
Does evil exist in this world? If so, in what form? Yes, evil exists in this world. And it's very funny. Everybody tries to enjoy that evil. That is our sense gratification is the evil in this material world. If my sense gratification is not fulfilled, then I hate others and I want to get my sense gratification. That is the main evil. If everybody is Krishna conscious, there won't be any evil. Because that way nobody is everybody is trying to satisfy Krishna's desire, not one's own desire. That is the evil, our own sense gratification. You want to elaborate on that?
You've spoken nicely. Okay, the next one is Lord Krishna and Vishnu, why don't have own children? Actually, Lord Krishna, or Vishnu, has unlimited children. We are all his children. We're all the children of God. Next.
This question has been raised again and again, how to raise the child in Krishna consciousness, and it has been answered many times. The parents have to become, not that the children.
Not like that chokidar on the Pune airport.
One has to become by their own example. Yajya Nacharati Shastat Takta Devi Tarojana. If you are all the example, then the kids will follow, because kids are your followers.
Yeah, there's one example of that. In the Pune airport, the security guard came up to us. We were sitting there in the chair waiting for the flight, you know. He came up with a dog. They had a dog, you know, police dog, you know. He came up to us with a big smile and he told the dog, Namaskar. The dog got down on his, got down, bowed down, and put his paws out and offered obeisance. So, but the security guard didn't. Only the dog did it. You see. So don't be that kind of a parent. You teach your kids to offer obeisance, but you don't. You have to show the example.
At least the kid, the dog got benefit.
The dog got a benefit. He offered obeisance. Okay, in the six ways or steps of surrender, please explain what is karpanyam, that is before atmanivedanam. I'd have to see the Sanskrit, I forget. What is karpanyam? Translation.
Huh? Miserly weakness.
Miserly weakness?
Yes.
When is to give up miserly weakness?
Miserly weakness means we have a lot of attachment and we think that material duties are priority, and so that's what Arjuna says, that karpanya dosho pahat svabhava.
Yeah, just you have to realize your material duties are all here today and gone tomorrow. Don't take your material duties as the all in all, that's the point. Your job or whatever it may be. These material duties, they come and they go. You've had so many duties, 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 duties for millions of lifetimes. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityaja. Give up all of their duties and just surrender to me. One man wrote me a letter. He dropped out of the e-course. He sent me a note saying, I've dropped out of the e-course because actually my real duty, Krishna is just telling me to do my duties. That's all he's really saying. But no, Krishna says, give up all your duties and just surrender to me. You have to understand these duties are not the essence of your existence. The essence of your existence is simply to serve Krishna. Any duty that can be dovetailed in the service of Krishna can be accepted. If it cannot be, give it up. Any duty you have that's not cannot be used in Krishna's service, give it up. That's what Krishna said. Next.
How to overcome anxiety and depression. Become Krishna conscious. Easy as that. Just because Krishna is the ultimate goal and everything. Then when we understand that, there is no anxiety. Because he is the protector, he is the friend. And he can he can supply all your requirements. Because we do not have faith in Krishna, then we are thinking there is so much anxiety, so much material duty, so much this, that. But once you are Krishna conscious, then all this anxiety goes away. At this moment, we are thinking, how I'm going to raise my kid? How I'm going to maintain them? How I'm going to... There are so many questions. Because you think that you are the doer and you are the proprietor. But once you become Krishna conscious, then you feel like you are a servant. And supplier is Krishna.
Please explain a little bit about how, yourself. How did you come to Krishna consciousness? Well, as a youth, everybody has their career path, right? They figure out their career path. I figured the only career path that made sense for me was to bring a spiritual revolution on the planet. Spiritual revolutionary, that was my choice of career. My life has to be for making a spiritual revolution on this planet. So, to do that, I became a singer-songwriter, you see, writing songs and singing them in the public. But then I realized that actually I didn't have the ability to do what I wanted to do with my music. I wasn't enlightened enough to actually, my songs didn't have the power to do that because I was not personally an enlightened person myself. I was still an illusion. But then I found out that Prabhupada was doing it. Prabhupada was actually the one successfully making a spiritual revolution on this planet. So I gave up being a singer-songwriter and became a brahmachari, an ISKCON brahmachari, to fully dedicate myself to this, pushing for the revolution, the spiritual revolution as that Prabhupada was bringing on this planet. So that's why I had a desire to be a spiritual revolutionary. I tried to do it on my own as a singer-songwriter, and I saw that I couldn't do it. So I saw that Prabhupada was actually doing it, so therefore I joined forces with Prabhupada to help him in his spiritual revolution. Next.
Is initiation. His initiation is must to go back to God. Why? Initiation is not only ascension, but obedience. With the initiation, obedience of the spiritual master is essential. Then one can go back to God. And otherwise, just initiation and not obey the spiritual master, one cannot go back.
Prabhupada clearly states in the Nectar Devotion, without initiation, the connection with Krishna is never done. Unless you're initiated, you're not connected with Krishna. Prabhupada clearly states in the Nectar Devotion.
Yes, initiation is required, but if there is no obedience, then they have not taken the humble position. And it does not make them that they can go back home.
If you're not obedient to the spiritual master, you're not really initiated in the true sense. Real initiation includes obedience. It means if you don't obey your Guru Maharaj, your initiation is in name only. It's not factual initiation. Factual initiation means you've taken the vow, you've gone through the ceremony, and now you're fully surrendered to your Guru Maharaj. That is obedience, and that is initiation, and that's what's required to go back to Krishna. Okay? What a grahastha should practically do in their life or lifestyle so that they can progress spiritually. It's very simple. You have to chant Japa Mala every day at least 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. You have to get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master and obey the instructions that he gives you. If the guru has to do this, he becomes as good as any sannyasi. Or he could be better even than a sannyasi. Possible. Yes?
One's cultivation of Krishna consciousness. One may give up everything, but they do not practice, then it is useless.
So your question.
We are here because of karma and our desire. So where is the free will? The free will is you can choose your energy of the Lord you want to be. And the Maya energy or Krishna's personal energy. That's your choice. Being Krishna conscious, you will be under the protection and we are of Krishna. But if you are under the if you remain under the material energy, then you will have to take whatever is coming according to your karma. So your free will is you can make that choice. Either you can become Krishna conscious or materialistic. That's your free choice. This question is this. Where does the free will come? That is the free will. There is no other free will. You get what you deserve by your karma and everything, but your free will is only that you can make a choice under which energy of the Lord you can.
Okay, the next question. What is ISKCON's view on homosexuality? Sex is actually meant for procreation, for producing Krishna-conscious children. That's the purpose of sex. Any sex life which is not being used for producing Krishna-conscious children is illicit. Doesn't matter if it's a man and a woman having sex, or two men having sex, or two women having sex with each other. Any sex life which is not for the purpose of procreation is illicit and is not desirable. Now, what about homosexuals becoming devotees? Or heterosexuals? As far as a heterosexual or a homosexual becoming a devotee, everyone's welcome. You see? Because we all come out of a world where illicit sex is the standard thing, whether it's hetero or homo, it's still illicit. So, it's not that we should think I'm hetero, therefore I'm better than homo, because we're all engaged in illicit sex in the material world. So the real thing is one has to simply become Krishna conscious. whether one is a homosexual or a heterosexual, if one strictly follows this rule that sex is only to be used for procreation, then they seriously take up this pathway, they become a pure devotee. So everyone's welcome to join ISKCON. Homosexuals are welcome, heterosexuals are welcome, everyone's welcome. But we have to give up that sex life, which is not for the purpose of procreation. That will make us perfect. Whether we're hetero or homo, it doesn't matter. Next.
Can we pray directly to Krishna, or should all prayers be directed to Guru? My Lord, you can pray to Krishna. Then Krishna says, okay, you go to the Guru, you must listen. And if you don't listen, where is your prayer to Krishna? And he says, also in Adi Purana, so we have hundreds and thousands of times we have heard that Krishna says, those who are my devotees, they are my devotees, and those who are devotees of my devotee are my devotees. And those who are my devotees are not my devotees.
Krishna said, to be my devotee, you have to be the devotee of my devotee. So it's so very obvious.
If you are praying to Krishna, that's fine. Then he tells you, go to the spiritual master, go to the spiritual master. Are you ready to take that instruction of Krishna? Then you are automatically devotee of Krishna.
Can you please describe your direct association with Srila Prabhupada? Well, I had a chance to meet Prabhupada back in 1969 in Berkeley. In my singer-songwriter days, but I was too puffed up. I refused to go because I didn't want the Swami to pop my little I am God bubble, you see. And then in 1970, again, I was in Berkeley, California, and Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and the devotees were going down to have a big festival with Prabhupada, and I was invited to come with them. But again, this puffed up singer-songwriter who thought he could save the world didn't want to go, you see. So I missed two opportunities there in 1969 and 1970 to directly associate with Prabhupada. By the time 1971 had rolled around, I'd become humbled a little bit. And I realized that actually what I was a lost soul, completely bewildered by the material nature. And I needed to take shelter of God and just do whatever God wanted me to do, because on my own I was just a bewildered soul. So then Vishnu John Swami came to Austin and he revealed Buddhist Krishna consciousness, who is Srila Prabhupada, and I became convinced that I should accept Prabhupada as my spiritual master. Of course, in the beginning I was thinking, oh, I'll just be a devotee on my own, because George Harrison had just had a big hit, My Sweet Lord. And I was thinking, I'll just be a Krishna conscious singer-songwriter. I won't become a disciple, you see. So devotees, I was living in the ashram. I thought, well, by staying in the ashram, I can learn to write better songs. So I just came as a guest, basically, to live in the ashram. Not to be joined, but just as a guest. But one day, but then devotees were always saying, you know, you should surrender, you should become a disciple. I was thinking, no, 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 no. Even Vishnu John Swami had me write something on my hand, because there's one couple of prayers that for a Texas hippie is pretty tough, you know, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhadale. So I wrote them on, because when you go to the temple room, you're supposed to say them when you enter the temple room. So I wrote them down on my hand. So I had it here in my left hand, you know, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. When I bowed down, there it was. With a ballpoint pen, I wrote it in my hand. But there was an empty space here on the thumb. So Vishnu John Swami said, now you add this to your thumb. I must surrender to my spiritual master. I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. But I wasn't going to do it, but I had it on my hand, you see. He told me to. So everybody's putting pressure on me that I should become a disciple of Prabhupada. And I was resisting, no, 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 no. But then one day I had an amazing realization. We had some new record had just been produced by a company called Apple Records in London, the Beatles record label. It was called the Radha Krishna Temple album. George had done the work and produced it. And Somebody hands some radio station, didn't want to play it. They handed it to us when we were out on Harinam. He said, here, you might like this. And boy, do we love that. We took it home. We heard this new cut. It went, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. Wow, we were swimming in ecstasy. Here, this new recording from Apple Record Company. And the second cut was, Samsara Dava Naladita Loka. So one day, my service was to vacuum the temple room rug every day, you see. And so we would play that record all practically as much as we could the whole day. It was so enlivening. And I was hearing that second cut on that album, and I was realizing these devotees who've given their life to Prabhupada, they are tasting some nectar that I'm not tasting. It's just like if you take a jar of honey, you know. You can either unscrew the lid and stick your tongue in the jar, or you can lick the outside of the jar, you see. So I was licking, this is a clean jar that's never been opened yet. There's no honey in the outside. I was trying to lick the outside of the jar, you see. I'll just be a Krishna conscious singer-songwriter following the George Harrison Sampradaya, you know. And I'll just do my own thing and write Krishna conscious songs and be a famous singer-songwriter. That was what I was thinking, you see. But I realized the devotees, they are tasting a nectar that I'm not tasting. And being an envious person by nature, I didn't want somebody to taste more nectar than me. So I did in my heart, I, as I was hearing that the beautiful love in their voices for Prabhupada, my mind has become totally absorbed in this thought. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? And the tears just came streaming down my face. And Prabhupada entered into my heart at that minute. And I've been directly associating with ever since. I've been in the constant direct association of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ever since that moment. And I'm directly associating with Him right now also. You see, there's two presences of the spiritual master, Vani and Vapu. Vapu is his physical form. Sometimes he'll be physically present, sometimes he'll not be physically present. But Vani, that is his vibrational presence, his teachings, you see. That presence is more powerful because the disciple, if he embraces the order received from his spiritual master, then he's constantly in the direct association of his spiritual master for all of eternity, you see. So I've been directly associating with Srila Prabhupada for the last 45 years, ever since that wonderful moment when I thought, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? Of course, I got some Vapu association as well. I've told those stories many times. But they're not as important as this story. How I got the Vani association of Srila Prabhupada in my heart, and it's never gone away, you see. I said, okay, when can I get initiated? They said, well, you got to wait for 6 months. I wanted immediate initiation because the Prabhupada was an old man, you see. And they said, Prabhupada can die at any time. I was going, oh my God, I better get initiated as soon as I can, you know. And I went to L.A. And we were out there, we went throughout the yatra in San Francisco, and then we all came down to Los Angeles, and they had big initiations. Prabhupada would chant on every devotee's beads also in the yajna. So, it was a long time. There were 10 devotees. Prabhupada would chant 10 rounds also as part of the yajna. So they had to break it up because there was like maybe 60 devotees getting initiated. If it had 60 rounds would take quite a while. So over a number of days, they had yajna after yajna after yajna initiating. But Bhakta Steve here, he couldn't get initiated because he wasn't 6 months yet. And I was so scared that I'm going to miss this opportunity to be Prabhupada's disciple. Actually, I went into the Brahmacharya Ashram and started crying because they wouldn't let me get initiated. And I was so scared I would miss the opportunity. But then we went back to Austin. That was July. And then the next month, I was actually 5 months. But they wouldn't let me get in because only 5 months, I was just a few weeks away. But then I got back to Austin and another month went by, and then so Vishnujan Swami, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada in London and said, Prabhupada, there's three boys here, Steve, Ron and Chris, they're serving very nicely, so I recommend for initiation. So we got a letter from three, in the mail, we got three sets of beads that Prabhupada had chanted on.
Wow.
And we got a letter also, and by separate post, a letter came saying, I'm now accepting you as my disciples, and your names are the blah, 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 blah. Steve becomes Sankarshan Das, and Ron becomes Parashara, and Chris becomes Pulashcha. So then it happened, that wonderful moment, the Prabhupada accepted me as his disciple. The letter was dated August 12, 1971, and that's a very special date for me. The day that Prabhupada accepted me as his disciple. He was in London at the time, and I was in Texas, but it didn't. We were so physically, we were thousands of miles away, but spiritually, Prabhupada was right there, you see. The physical presence is not necessary. Simply, you have to have that dedication to the spiritual master. And then you'll be packed up very tightly with him at every minute. You'll never be separated from him. So that's my last question to answer. Maybe
physical presence sometimes makes one packed up.
Actually, a fly may sit on the lap of the spiritual master, but he's simply a disturbance. So sometimes devotees want to get close, but they're not in the right mood, and they're simply a disturbance for the spiritual master. So you have to learn how to be in the right mood. That's a very important thing. How that mood of complete surrender to the spiritual master. Because that mood will keep you packed up tightly with him. Just to be in a mood of enjoying the guru or some other ideas, to run and be with him physically is not a very valuable thing. My godbrother, Suresha Prabhu, he told me in Miami, he was on the morning walk with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was walking down the beach and the footprints of Prabhupada are in the sand. So he was literally walking in Prabhupada's footsteps. And he would step in each step that Prabhupada made. He was walking right behind him. But he was singing, here I am, right behind. He was singing Prabhupada's head right in front of him. Here I am, just a few feet away from Prabhupada, but actually I'm millions of miles away from Srila Prabhupada. You see? So physical presence, Prabhupada said, is for fools. The real thing is one who is dedicated to the order of the spiritual master. You know how much physical association Prabhupada got with Bhakti Siddhanta? Prabhupada said 10 times or less, maybe not even 10 times I was with my spiritual master. But of all the disciples, you see, the others were brahmacharis and sannyasis. They were in the ashram. They were associating with him every day. Prabhupada was a householder living in a whole different part of India. Prabhupada was out there in Allahabad, and you know he didn't get hardly any association with the spiritual master. But who actually imbibed and inherited the full mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? Only his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The other godbrothers did not fully imbibe and even understand his mission. You see. So physical presence is not the all in all. You have to understand what is the mission of my spiritual master. Now let me embrace his mission. His spiritual master's mission is to deliver all the living entities of this material world back to home, back to Godhead. You have to understand what is the mission of the spiritual master, and if you embrace that mission, it also is your mission. So let me assist my spiritual master in delivering the fallen souls of this world back to home, back to Godhead. If you will imbibe the mission of the spiritual master, then you will be packed up tightly with him for all of eternity. More so than somebody is always with him, somebody is on the morning walk, somebody is... There are Prabhupada's, some devotees who were traveling with Prabhupada, blooped. Even look in Chaitanya Leela, Chaitanya had a servant, what was his name? Krishna Das? Kala Krishna Das. He had his personal servant blooped. He left the movement. He went to associate with some debauchees. He was Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. He was in the constant association of Lord Chaitanya. So, of course, he got saved also by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But so physical presence is not the thing. Thing is, you have to understand the mission of the spiritual master to deliver all the fallen souls of this world back to Godhead, and you have to dedicate your life to assist him in his mission. In that way, you'll be packed up tightly with Guru Maharaj for all of eternity.
Prabhupada also asked once, what is what pleases him most. What did he say?
Yes, I remember. I was there with Prabhupada in Atlanta, one of those times when I was with him physically. And one devotee came back from the traveling Sankirtan, a band full of brahmacharis distributing the books. And Prabhupada always said, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. So this devotee was very proud. He was thinking, well, here I am, I'm a book distributor. And holding his head very high, yes, I'm a book distributor, I'm leading a book distribution van of brahmacharis. He said, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Like, you know, he wanted book distribution. I sensed that kind of a mood. I saw the way the mood he was asking the question. Then Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna, so that's what you have to do. You see, if you want to please your spiritual master, then you have to love Krishna. Learn how to love Krishna, because that's how you can really please your spiritual master. Chant Hare Krishna with love, not mechanically, not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, do everything with love. Bhaktya, Krishna says. He says, that verse, if one offers me with love and devotion, a leaf or flower, patram pushpam palam tayam, yome bhaktya. You see, you can't, not, Krishna doesn't say just offer me a leaf, flower, or water. He says you offer it with love. So if you want to actually please your spiritual master, you have to learn how to serve Krishna with love, how to chant Hare Krishna with love, how to bow down to Krishna with love, how to do everything in a mood of love. Love, it makes the world go round, they say. Well, it really is fact. Love makes the whole spiritual world go around also. So you have to learn how to do everything with love. If you're a husband, you have to deal with your wife lovingly to help her awaken her Krishna consciousness. If you're a wife, you have to deal with your husband lovingly to assist him in his Krishna consciousness. Everything is based on loving relationships, you see. It's like the spiritual master. He has to feel his love for the students. You should feel love for your spiritual master. If you put love in the middle of everything you're doing, you see, love means wanting to help that person to be Krishna conscious, not gratifying your senses with them. That's material love or lust. So anyway, take this process seriously, and I guarantee you, if you do so, your lives will be absolutely inconceivably sublime in all times, all places, and all circumstances for all of eternal existence. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.